Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
We're in the same room. This is bizarre.
This is bizarre. Yeah, I know. I can reach out and touch you.
If I want to.
I mean, I've always wanted to do that during the podcast. I've always kind of wanted to reach through the screen and just give you a little tickle on the nose, tickle on the chin, slap you if I'm really disappointed with your rating for a film.
Have you ever been that disappointed with my ratings?
No, of course not.
Cat people,
that's so long ago that I can't really remember like how I felt when you were devastated. I was devastated, yeah. I mean, I can't really remember what I rated Cat People, let alone what you rated it. You rated it ridiculously high.
I think I weighed it too strong. I did go in too strong. But I like cats. I'm a cat person.
Yeah. There we go. Some would say that film was made for you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like 40 years before I was born. Yeah.
So, this is the first time.
I can smell you.
This is the first time. Yeah. Is it bad? I'm drinking coffee, so like.
No, you smell fantastic. It's just that I can smell you.
Don't come on too strong. Like, I know we're close, but. This is the first time I've ever done this. We've never sat in the same room and done this before. I think we spoke about it a few times, but.
Yeah.
I guess, like, when we actually meet up with each other is so rare.
It's because we live so far away as well.
That's the excuse, yeah. It's not like we both live in Bristol and we just avoid each other at every turn.
Yeah.
You live in Nottingham.
Yeah.
Now. And you've always kind of lived far away. Manchester, London.
Try and keep a certain distance if I can.
Yeah, I think you kind of need to. Like a certain amount of miles away from me at any time. Because, you know, restraining orders. And also, you know, I like turning up at people's doorstep.
Yeah.
Like halfway, like in the middle of the night and just say, Luke, I need a wee. Luke, can you spoon me?
Whilst I wee,
yeah. Which is an odd feeling for everybody involved, isn't it?
Okay. We're in the same room. That's fine. It is what it is.
It's totally fine. Get used to it. If you've got a problem with it, then just stop watching right now.
Yeah. Okay, man. So, there's no horror news this week. Nothing in horror happened.
No. I mean, there probably is horror news, but I've just managed to avoid all of it. I think a lot of stuff was happening with horror at the moment is that there are trailers for things. I think you're a notorious trailer non-watcher.
That is what I'm notorious.
Yeah, and I've kind of like been trying to do that.
My rap name.
A little bit. Notorious. He's a notorious non-watcher. Just not watching shit. Have you seen this? No. That's disappointing. And I've kind of like adopted that a little bit. Like I've tried lately to not watch as many trailers.
Yeah.
Just because I think I agree. Like, especially the Black Christmas one. Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. So the Black Christmas trailer was the one where it really made me think. I kind of need to stop watching trailers because I love trailers. I love the event of a trailer dropping. Like, oh my God, a trailer's dropped. Can you believe it? A trailer for a trailer, a clip for a trailer. I'm like, yeah, man, a trailer's coming up. But with Black Christmas, like with major films, I think like the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel stuff, I actually
like the Star Wars trailers though.
Yeah.
Because the music always gets me.
Yeah, it's the Goosebumps. It's exactly like that. Forget John Williams. It's Luke Condor over here with a little
wobbly trumpet
lip. Yeah, I think the Star Wars and the Marvel ones and the big budget, like the big films, are pretty good. They know the trailer hasn't got to give enough away that people are going to go and watch them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter so much if they give away a few little details. They're not going to give away the plot. Black Christmas pretty much gave away the plot from start to finish, even though it was a remake. And it was then I kind of thought, no. And there's a couple of films that I watched in the cinema this week that I didn't see trailers for. And I feel like it didn't affect things too much for me. I felt... you know, pretty happy with it. I still, my anticipation of the film was still probably just as much as it was, would have been from not seeing a trailer.
I don't know. I think if you don't see, I think films are always better when they are different to what you expect them to be. Like, the trailer set up certain expectations, which is sort of what they're there to do.
Mm.
But I don't want to have any expectations. I always enjoy the film more if I don't have any expectations.
Yeah. I can't even imagine, like, imagine going and watching a film like that, a Star Wars film, and literally knowing nothing about it. Imagine going into The Force Awakens and not seeing a trailer. That must have been insane.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's in it. You don't know.
Yeah.
That must have just been crazy, you know?
Yeah, especially like when Han Solo turned up instead.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would like to do that, but I know with Star Wars, like, as soon as there's a trailer, I'm going to want to watch it.
Yeah. And they're almost good. They're good trailers.
They're good. Yeah, so I guess what the point was the I guess what my point was that a lot of horror news is trailers.
Yeah.
And clips and announcements of films and stuff. And, you know, as I've been avoiding trailers, I've also seemingly been avoiding horror news. So, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, stuff's probably happened. We'll do a catch-up news episode next week.
2 weeks worth of horror news next week, possibly, just to make up for it, because we're kind like that.
So, I mean, let's, like, jump forward then. So what have you been watching? Any stuff? Any guff?
Stuff and guff.
Anything rough?
Well, I've watched a few things. I've had two cinema trips this week.
Sorry, there's an iMac on the floor.
No, there's an iMac on the floor over there. There it is. That's where I keep it.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I don't care, all right? I went to see Ford versus Ferrari this week, aka Le Mans 66.
Yeah, I've heard good stuff.
I went with my dad. I think we discussed it as being a film you'd probably go see with your dad.
Yeah.
There was a guy there with like a motor racing jacket on. It reminded me of Alan Partridge when he's got the Castrol GTX jacket on at a funeral.
Yeah.
So it'd be a bloody car racing, bloody motor racing film. I'm not like a huge fan of like motor racing, but I like Christian Bale enough to kind of watch anything he's in.
Yeah,
I don't really like Matt Damon all that much.
What do you mean? You don't like Matt Damon? Bourne Identity?
No, I don't really like the Bourne films.
What about... Do you know, the first one was great. What about where he plays... what's the Kevin Smith film? Dogma.
But Dogma's great, but Matt Damon's just kind of in that, isn't he?
He has a great speech when he's like talking to the Moose Company.
Jesus Christ, I don't remember that at all.
He plays Loki, doesn't he?
He plays Loki in one of the Thor
And he's like...
films.
He's in a big speech about like consumerism.
I don't know. I mean, there's just something about him. I don't find him that engaging. I think actually the part he's pretty good, but I think he's a bastard.
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, I've not seen that for a long time.
Mate, it's good.
The Departed, like, you're supposed to hate him, so I feel like he was the perfect character for that.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, oh god, my day when you're shit. So I mean, but for this Ford vs Ferrari was great. It was really, really long, 2.5 hours. But I feel like it kind of needed to be that length because the Le Mans 24-hour race was such a huge part of that film that if you just chucked it in as the final 10-20 minutes, it would have been naff. So it was like the final hour is the Le Mans race. But yeah, it was really good. I liked it. Really good cinematography. The sound editing was like great. It really felt like I was in a bloody car, mate. It felt like I was in a car going however many miles an hour it does. And the story, like if you don't know the story of Le Mans 66, don't read up on it before you watch the film because there's some stuff that happens in it and at the end of it. That's like mind bending.
I don't know about it. I don't know anything about
it. Don't read up on it before you watch the film. Go and watch the film. Your mind will be bent.
Bent.
Your mind. It's just like what is it? This is the face I made. What, like that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. That's the best bit. And then also saw Frozen 2 this week.
Has it held up to number one?
I think this is number one. I've kind of seen too much because obviously my when that came out, my daughter was 3 when the original Frozen came out.
Mm.
So we watched it a lot over sort of her age.
She's singing it all the
3
time.
Till 6. Yep, she was singing it a lot.
Were you singing it all the time?
I was probably joining in, I expect.
It's got good songs in there. For the first time in forever. I like that one.
Yeah, the songs in the first one have kind of run their course for me now. Yeah. But probably the main call for the main positive about this film is that the songs are awesome, and I honestly felt like I can't wait to listen to that song again. I think the story's kind of lacking a little bit. The story's a bit lackluster. It just kind of feels like, you remember when Disney did like the direct to DVD sequels, and it was like, here's Aladdin, but then here's a direct to DVD sequel called Return of Jafar, where Jafar's back being a bastard. Like that, it just kind of felt like that. It's like one of those stories, you know.
So, one of my first ever VHS videos I owned.
Return of Jafar.
And it's the one where Iago becomes a good guy.
Oh, what, in that one?
Yeah. And I also had Scream. What about that? If it announced Frozen 2, because this is for the Horror Hangout podcast, Frozen 2.
Yeah.
And Four versus Ferrari.
But I did watch a horror film this week. I watched a film called Goodnight Mommy. You ever heard of this?
Yes.
So it's German. German-Austrian?
Del Toro's talked about it a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I don't
know
all the time about it.
He's always banging on about it. And yeah, this was a film I didn't really know anything about.
Bandages. That's all I know.
Yeah, there's bandages in it.
Two kids.
Twin boys. Yeah. A mum who comes home and she's had plastic surgery, but the boys are convinced that she's not quite the same, or she's not the mum.
Yeah.
Pretty. You kind of like expect a twist of a certain type in this film, and I guess it is a tad predictable in that way. Some good visuals. It gets pretty brutal at times. And you know when, like, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I really do hate kids in films. but these kids annoy me as well. Yeah, yeah, I mean, if the Babadook kid is like 9 for annoying, these kids are a solid 7.
Really?
Something about them, like they both wear Crocs at one point as well, and I just think, you little twats, idiots. What about you? What have you seen this week, Mr. Luke Condor, with a K?
So I watched Nightmare Cinema. We talked about it last week, a little bit about it last week.
Yeah, you did talk about it last
Nightmare
week.
Nightmare Cinema is Mick Garris's anthology.
Did you
movie.
Say last week you were going to watch it, or did you?
I mean, last, because I watched like the first segment. Last week.
You're consuming it like oranges.
Yeah, from now on. Yeah, segment a day. But like, the first segment was like surprisingly great. I really liked it. It was a sort of camp slasher riff, but it was like, there's a really nice twist and it really fun. So there's 5 segments. There's some ones directed by, I think, Neil Marshall did one. No, not me. It's either David Slade or Neil Marshall.
Okay.
I think it's Neil Marshall. And there's Alexander Bruges.
Okay. Also, a different director directs every single.
Yeah. 2 out of the 5 segments are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. What a ratio.
The others, I don't even remember. I mean, one was so bizarre that it could have been fantastic that I just didn't quite sort of... It was one of those ones that could, like... I mean, it was insane. It was like a possession story in like a weird... like a Latin American priest boarding school sort of thing. but every now and again, it would just sort of have like a really epic... like a Latin American soap opera music. You know, there's a big sting at the end
where
someone says, like, I've been dead the whole time or whatever. There'd be that same music and the camera would pull back. And I don't know if it was doing it on purpose as a sort of a funny thing, or if it, I couldn't tell if there was irony there or not.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't know if it was good or not. But the other two were, I just did not get along with at all. And what's his name? Mickey Rourke is in it as the crypt keeper sort of guy. He plays this.
Mickey Rourke. I mean, he looks considerably different every time I see him.
He plays the screener or something. So he's the guy who, the projectionist, they call him.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think...
He's always projecting things on other people, this guy. He's a real dick.
But he plays like... I don't understand the concept. It's a cinema that people randomly go to. And then when they sit down and they see a short horror movie with them in the film. And then Mickey Rourke kills them. I don't understand the concept of it. But
how's it getting business, this place?
I don't know how it stayed open. Not with Odeon around corner. But it's Mickey Rourke plays in. I don't know. They probably didn't give me a wardrobe. It looks like he just rocked up in his pretty normal
normal shirt from Top Man and his jeans from Asda.
But he's a strange guy, Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
But he looked like he's having fun. But I don't know. And the final segment, Mick Garris' segment, was word 90s TV. Like, it was that sort of feel.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know. 2 out of segments are good.
Yeah. So.
But I mean, I looked at the reviews on Shudder and people were banging on about it, so maybe I'm missing some.
I think it's like a bit of a horror sort of cult favorite or something, even though it's
yeah, maybe. But like I said, the two segments that I really liked, one that was like, it looked like the budget was like 20 times more than the others.
And 20 billion.
Yeah, it was
million.
It's black and white, but it's like it's about a woman going to the doctor. She says that every time she looks at someone, their face sort of changes, and like they've visually done the faces like morphing, and eyes are stretching and weird stuff. But it looked really good. Yeah, really quite lovely.
Okay.
Other than that, started Preacher season 2.
Okay.
Have you seen Preacher?
I've seen one episode of Preacher. It's one of those shows that I've got like a graveyard of shows that I've seen like one episode of, and I kind of really need to crack on with some of them.
I mean, Preacher's one of my favorite like comic book series of all time. The season 1 was slow, but it did have some really good moments.
Yeah.
Season 2, I've watched one episode, and it was like just on constantly. Like, it was really fun.
It was just on.
Really, I mean, I didn't turn it off once. It was really good. It was really fast paced, really gory, really funny. Exactly what sort of a preacher TV show should be. Like, I don't know. It's good. I don't understand why more people don't talk about it.
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, I need to get back around to it. So, like that, the dude playing Preacher, what's his name?
Dominic Cooper.
Yeah, we don't see much of him really, apart from that these days.
Is he? He was in like Emmerdale or something, was he?
Was he?
Was he? I'm asking
I don't know. He's been in quite a lot of things, but yeah, he's got one of his faces, isn't he?
Yeah.
What can I say about his face?
What about Negger plays Daisy.
Yeah.
She's Irish, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe. And then the other guy, from This Is
Joseph
England,
Gilgan.
Joseph Gilgan, that's it. He's
playing an Irish person.
Yeah, but he's
got a proper like thick.
Yeah, that's right. Where's he? Is he like a vampire or something?
Yeah. But he's fantastic. He's like a perfect choice for that character.
Yeah, he's great. Everything I see him in, he kind of eats it up. Misfits, This Is England, all that stuff. He's
That's it, isn't it? He should be in more stuff. I'm sure like he'll be in more and more stuff. He's just such a character.
Yeah, great character actor.
Yeah.
100%. Is cool. That it?
Yeah, other than that, it's just Demon Knight.
Demon Knight.
So, Demon Knight. What are you going to say about it?
What have I got to say about it? What haven't I got to say about it? I've got some papers here. Like I'm a newsreader. Professional newsreader.
Yeah.
So, Demon Knight, Tales from the Crypt presents Demon Knight as a 1995 American horror comedy film directed by Ernest Dickerson, starring Billy Zane, William Sadler, and Jada Pinkett, and lots of other people. So, a man on the run is hunted by a demon known as the Collector. That's all we're getting from IMDb.
That's all you need.
Getting nothing else.
So, Rotten Tomatoes, give it 38%.
Ooh.
Audience score is a bit higher, 64%, a bit kinder.
Okay.
6.7 on IMDb. I'm starting to look at the Letterboxd scores now because I feel like that's getting more and more important.
Yeah.
3.3 out of 5, that's decent.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think the Letterboxd one's pretty good, yeah, because it's like film fans, isn't it, essentially? Film fans, people who take it. Oh, yeah. I just thought I'm really cool. Yeah, I'm recording. I had a thought I wasn't recording, sorry.
That's cool.
So Letterboxd, I guess, film fans, people who take film, you know, semi-seriously, I guess, you know, people who watch films and aren't too bothered about reviewing stuff aren't really going to bother with Letterboxd, are they?
You know when you review stuff on Letterboxd?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're a bit more keen on, like, getting the right, exactly the right grade. How much do you, like, deliberate over, like, a half a star? Like,
yeah, I don't deliberate too much. I think sometimes it becomes
imagine you walking around the garden like,
I just don't know, man. 3.5 stars, is it 4? Is it 3? There have been times where I've gone back and changed my score just because like I've watched, I don't know, The Force Awakens and I've gone 5 stars, brilliant, loved it.
Yeah.
But then maybe like a year later I'm like, really? Did I really give it 5 stars? So I've changed stuff in the past. Suicide Squad, I think I gave 3 stars the first time round. Second time round I went, I got to knock it down to 2 after that.
Yeah,
because like, again, I got caught up in the hype of it. I got caught up in the trailers. I got caught up with everything, all the artwork. But yeah, with Letterboxd, I used to use it a lot more casually, but now I think I try and review every film I watch, even if it's just a one-line review.
Yeah, I don't even do that anymore.
Yeah, but that's, you could just go, crap, crap, no thank you, or very nice.
Yeah.
But sometimes I like, the big releases, like cinema releases, I try and give a bigger review to, but stuff like a kind of, just a little review. Okay. It's nice to keep track of things, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because I think I've been logging films now since maybe like 2015.
I like to put in what I'm going to watch. I like to sort of have a bit of an aim of to watch.
I like doing that as well, because how many times you go, I won't mind watching this soon, and you kind of forget.
It. Yeah.
So I just put like a film
like maybe doesn't seem immediately exciting, but then you pin it on the to-watch list, and you'll make a point to watch it. But I'm glad I watched that.
Yeah. As soon as it's on the list, I mean, I'm all about lists. If I'm writing a list, stuff will get done on that list.
Yeah.
If I make a list on Letterboxd of what to watch. But I'm a bit, I would do cheat sometimes, so I change things on the list.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel I'm never going to get around to that. Delete that one, add this. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
And I usually delete the list once I'm done with the month as well.
Have you seen Life Too Short with Liam Neeson talking about lists?
I have, but remind me, please, because I don't remember what he says about lists.
Steven Spielberg. Steven said to me once, that's exactly what I'm looking for Schindler's List. Have you seen it? You need to watch it again.
Yeah, I do need to watch it again.
Yeah.
What, because he makes lists or something? I do remember him in it being like, he's a massive bloke. I mean, this is the first time I realised, God, he's massive.
Yeah, he's huge, yeah.
You know, he's just like this big.
I make lists just all the time. That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Oh, right, in Schindler's List.
Yeah, okay, so, dude, I mean, you haven't seen this before. Nope. Obviously, this one's quite, I've talked about this film a few times.
Yeah, you mentioned it a few times on the podcast.
My dad was watching it on the banging on about it. Give it all that. my dad was watching it on TV. I was watching it from behind the sofa.
Is this recent? The way you said it then was like,
it's last night.
Dad, is it? Can I come out? Is Busy Zane still on TV?
Yeah,
that's not your accent.
But could be. When I was a kid, maybe it's changed. So, my dad was watching it on TV. I remember being sort of sat behind the sofa and sort of looking around it and watching the film, and then like pretending, and I found it a bit too scary, and lying down, pretending I was falling asleep. My dad wouldn't send me to sleep.
Lying down, are you all right? I'm just having a rest.
But then, like, I think it was maybe the noises, and every now and again I'd look around to see something, and it'd be like the Christ stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
or it would be some of the possessions, because there's loads of body horror stuff going on with that. Or it was the stuff in the minds. One of those scenes I'd see and I go, like, it was just too. There's a couple of scenes I'll talk about that quite visually.
I kind of remember a few bits of this. Like, I've definitely, like, I feel like I've seen, but maybe I've just seen some Tales from the Crypt stuff, or I've just, because I remember sort of in my head, I remember being quite young and watching some of this stuff. But this is exactly the kind of film that would have terrified me.
Yeah.
Because there was this sort of, when it's like a weird, demon-y, creepy, like something out of.
The little crypt keeper, little like miniature crypt keeper.
No, the demons in this, like the ones that come with Billy Zane. Like,
yeah, those. I mean, they kind of look like crypt creepers to me.
Right? Oh yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah. That sort of thing. Because, like, I mean, when I was younger, I was scared of the Unnamable, which we've reviewed.
Yeah.
Which was like a weird demon woman.
Yeah.
I used to be scared of From Dusk Till Dawn with all the vampires, like added, and it's all got that sort of look. There's this really specific look of a creature, a vampire demon. Creature that used to terrify me as a kid. So I think if I saw this would just have been another one to add to the list of something that scarred me.
But this time I watched it and I was like, oh, this is a horror comedy.
It's a horror comedy, and it's like, it's very Evil Dead, isn't it? It's very like,
yeah, some of the camera movements and stuff.
It's Evil Dead, and it's very From Dusk Till Dawn, because it's very like, you know, just stuck in a single location while things are trying to get you in that location or coming into that location, or like a siege, is that the word I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Like a siege.
Assault on Precinct 13 came to my mind.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like true. It. But I was like, that's the genre of film though, isn't it? A siege film. So, yeah, it was way, like, I wouldn't say it was out and out funny, but I think Billy Zane plays, like, is really hamming it up in the best way, I think.
Oh yeah, he gets absolutely loads to do. And obviously,
and there's some great lines. My nipples are smoking.
My nipples are smoking.
Thomas, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, of course.
My nipples are smoking.
Yeah, he was getting car batteried, wasn't he? Just like, come on.
Yeah.
Start that car.
Yeah. Get that pussy off the table. There's loads of puns and stuff.
There's a lot of puns. And a lot of kind of things that happened. I was like, what is going on? Like that sort of reaction.
Also, why was there so many panther sounds? You know, like, yeah. whenever like, someone would hand, he'd hand the key
yeah.
to someone and go, wow. Or like, there's those like Billy Zane, and like, he'd be trying to lure someone
yeah.
into, he'd like trying to possess their mind or whatever. And it'd be like really soft focus. Yeah. And you just hear this like beat. Yeah. And they go, yeah, yeah. wow. Like, what, it was like a Lynx like, advert.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. Porno Lynx advert.
Yeah.
And the Jesus stuff was weird as well. I wasn't sure
that's what to... kind of sort of freaked me out a bit. The...
It was kind of freaky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty. To be fair, like the demons are pretty creepy in this. I think like there's a lot of visuals, like the glowing green eyes, and the, yeah. you kind of just shoot them, and they just go flying off of a beam of like green, yeah. like lightning plasma, shit. it was an experience. So there is another Tales from the Crypt film, right?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. So the staff, we've got John Casser, who does the Crypt Keeper voice.
Yeah.
The Crypt Keeper stuff is kind of separate. I mean, yeah. I never really watched Tales from the Crypt, the TV show. I don't think. I feel that must have been more of an American
I'm aware
thing.
Of it, but yeah. I have not ever watched it in great detail.
Billy Zane plays the Collector, a travelling demon who's after this key to end the world.
Is he always bold? Like, in is he a bold man?
He is a bold man now. I think, because this looks like it's pre-Titanic.
Yeah,
he had hair in Titanic, and this was like he isn't bold.
Was that his hair though in Titanic?
One thing
I noticed from Titanic, and I said this when it happened, someone spits in his face in this film, and someone spat in his face in Titanic. So I was thinking maybe it's like a thing that he says while we're filming contractually.
Gotta have some spit on my face.
Because somebody spit in my face in this film? No, it's about Titanic. It's a tragedy and things. Someone goes in my face immediately.
William Sadler plays like a breaker.
Yeah. Initially, I thought this was the bad guy, but then you pretty much immediately realise that it's the other way around. His name's Breaker.
Yeah,
great name.
Actual name. Jada Pinkett Smith plays Geraldine. Which I don't. Is that a real name, Geraldine?
It sounds like some sort of medicine, like Geraldine.
Yeah, I was gonna say cleaner, but
Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith was good in this, I think.
Yeah, yeah. She's good. I don't know how it could be any better than she did. I mean, she did it as kind of straight against Bill Sadler's sort of over the top, like traveler on the run sort of character.
There were a lot of kind of crazy characters in this, like a lot of actors that you kind of recognise from something.
Dick Miller played Uncle Willie.
Dick Miller, Uncle Willie. So Dick plays Willie. Come on, Dick. Thomas Hayden Church,
he looked really young.
Yeah, he did look really young, and I watched it with some friends, and we kind of just were making Sandman jokes all the way through.
Oh yeah, like, of course, yeah. I always think about him in Sideways. He's in Sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So the plot. We open with the Crypt Keeper segment, the opening segment, and it's the Crypt Keeper who's filming a movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good little gore. It looks like a good gore film. It looks like a standard Crypt Keeper story, or like what was it? Creepshow sort of story, like a revenge, back from the dead sort of story. And we find out it's actually the Crypt Keeper shooting a movie for these in Hollywood, and it's like it's really played for like jokes. It's like really over the top silly.
The Crypt Keeper makeup is weird because it's like it almost looks stop motion.
It did when he starts walking.
Yeah, it was like stop motion, but then like over the top of it looked like the head was stop motion, but he was over the top of like a little actor.
It looked weird, didn't it?
It looked really weird.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes weird is good because it's almost a bit like, oh, but in a film like this, it's a bit.
Yeah,
it is kind of strange.
He doesn't really hope he's laughing.
Yeah, why is he always laughing? How is he earning any money looking the way he does?
Yeah, I like it. I like that. It's sort of like he's just in the normal world.
Yeah, no one goes, "Are you all right? Why do you?"
Why'd you make your skin ache?
Are you a decomposing corpse? What? I mean, how do you speak? Yeah, that was good. That was a good laugh. And this is the first bit where there's a lot of breasts in this film. This is the first pair of breasts you see. Yeah. And then there's a guy.
That's the guy.
I can't remember what the actor's name is, but the guy who's like got loads of skin hanging off of him. Like he's playing some sort of weirdo. All I remember
Was that a Belushi?
I don't know. He's the villain in Richie Rich. It's the only thing I knew. I was like, that man is the villain in Richie Rich. Sometimes my brain does that, you know? I mean, I'm sure it stores some pretty useless facts, but that's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
That's the man who's the villain in Richie Rich. Great.
Richie Rich.
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
What?
What? No, he's fine.
Okay. Okay, so we start off, the Crypt Keeper, he's like saying, we're in Hollywood now, this is a movie we've been making, we've got loads lined up, loads of Tales of the Crypt movies that are going to happen. It didn't happen.
Is this like the MCU? Like,
yeah.
Here's our timeline of all the Tales from the Crypt films we're going to have. They're all going to cross over, and eventually it's going to be one big Tales from the Crypt, but they only made two.
Exactly, yeah. Shit. Well, okay, so we start off in the actual film with some 90s... That's some drum and bassy type jungle music.
Always good.
And then I think there might be a panther stand at that point. I'm not too sure.
That's just a cat.
And then so it's Breaker being chased by Billy Zane in a car, and they crash.
Yeah, they do crash. And again, this is where initially I thought it seemed like Breaker was the villain, because the Collector, something about him, you know, like Stetson, long coat. He kind of looked like some sort of lawman, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And but that happens. The vehicles crash. Breaker flees.
Yeah.
Goes to a house.
So he goes to the house, and then he runs away from. Oh, Dick Miller sees him at the house, and takes him to.
That's a
church. It was a church, and now it's a hotel.
Yeah. So he's a local drunk.
Yeah.
Uncle Willie.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm being chased by the Collector here. Don't worry, Uncle Willie will look after you. You'd be like, sorry, mate, I've got more important things to do.
What's your name?
I'm not going to befriend you.
Yeah. So whilst that's happening, Billy Zane, there's like two policemen, Dumb and Dumber style policemen.
Yeah. The two stooges.
Yeah.
One of them, like, he can't be an actor. He's like, he can't be an actor. Like, he's just too, ridiculous.
Billy Zane kind of gets the policeman on his side, and they're going to go after Breaker. He said he stole something very valuable from me.
Yeah,
that's all we know.
They didn't ask what it is. Good police work. They could go, "What's he stolen from you?" He just goes, "He stole something very valuable from me."
Yeah,
Nokia 3210.
You can't buy him anymore.
Yeah,
well, Snake 2.
Couldn't even then.
Billy Breaker. Is that his name? I think it's Breaker. Breaker is in the hotel. We're introduced to. What are the names?
We're introduced to basically a crazy bunch of interesting characters. We all seem to like exist in the same space, even though it's a hotel. Like, you just go out to your room, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't all exist in the same weird living space.
They're like a little community.
I mean, it's very strange. Like, there's
Irene, who's the hotel owner. There is Cordelia, who's a prostitute.
Is that confirmed, is it? She's officially a prostitute.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
There we go. I thought you were just judging her.
No. Jerry Lean, who's on parole or doing some sort of work release program.
That's right, Jerry Lean. Jermaline.
And then there's Roach, who's getting his rocks off with.
Yeah. Prostitute.
And then there's also a guy who's about to go postal.
Yeah, I thought he looked like Andre the Giant, but like squashed.
Andre the Standard. Yeah.
Andre the Man.
Under the giant,
but squashed. Yeah, he was a bit nuts, wasn't he?
Yeah. So then we're introduced, Billy Breaker sort of introduced all these people, and he is getting along okay. He's eating some peas, some mushy peas with mint sauce.
Mushy peas and mint sauce. Delicious.
Yeah. Do you ever have mushy peas and mint sauce? I think it might have been a...
Oh, right. It's a real thing, is it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Jesus Christ, it's a
normal
thing, isn't it?
It's a what thing? A firework, like bonfire, you'd have mushy peas and you put a bit of mint sauce in it. Oh, tastes amazing. Honestly, it tastes really good.
Minted peas, that's a thing. This sounds like it's a northern thing.
Okay, so we get a few dynamics. We get Roach is kind of abusive to Cordelia, the prostitute, but he's getting his nipples smoking. He says, my nipples are smoking. There's that bit.
It's because she attaches a bloody car battery to his nipples.
To his nipple. It's going to happen.
That's too far, isn't it? Like, I feel like no matter what gets you off, right? I'm sure people out there probably do like that. But that almost feels like it's too far, the fact that you've got to bring a car battery into the bedroom.
There's a lot of work there.
All right, here's the car battery then, I suppose. Are we going to attach these to that? And it's that. I feel like it's one of those things where you think, yeah, that might be nice. But then as soon as hear me out. But then as soon as it starts, you'd be like, ow! It's too much.
I think even the crocodile clips is too much.
Yeah, I know.
Never mind the electric shock.
No, I just imagined it. I've got like non-existent nipples as well, so they would like it would take ages to find anything to latch onto them with the crocodile clips.
Okay, so at the same time, I think I can't remember what happens. I mean, there's the bit where thing is says get that pussy off the table, and it's Geraldine's cat they're talking about. Yeah, Cordelia's like, oh sorry, because she's the prostitute.
Yeah,
it's just like really playful.
I kind of saw it coming, didn't you?
Yeah.
So the owner Irene is an actress who I don't really know, but I recognise her or something. She's definitely in a film.
Yeah,
as like she's definitely in this film, but she's definitely in a film as like a position of authority, and I want to say like she's like an FBI agent or something, maybe like Face Off or something like that.
I don't know.
You're laughing because something happens to her when she gets off. Something comes off of her person.
Oh, I'll be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Billy Zane turns up with his two policemen and they're like, arrest that man.
Yeah.
He's got something important. The two stooges handcuff him. And they say, the person you are has died 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Also,
how would they get that information?
Also, Breaker is like, given the old, I'm just an old man who's too tired. Like, he's like,
I'm too tired to carry on. Okay.
Lonely man and a lonely road. Like, just giving it all that stuff. So, Billy Zane is really charming. He's giving it a sort of southern drawl sort of thing.
Yep.
And then he can't find this thing, whatever he's stolen. Mm-hmm. He said it's a key or something, but it's not a key, is it?
No.
Like a vase.
It's like a vase key.
It looks like it's papier-mâché. It looks like
It looks like someone's made it in their art for their art project.
Yeah.
And they've gone, here's a religious symbol. And you've gone, that's really good, mate. But then you're writing down F.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You weren't grading them. You weren't the teacher.
That's what I do when I don't talk to anyone. When they go, look at this thing I've made or done. I go, yeah, that's cool. F.
What are you writing down with your finger on your hand?
F+. Yeah, just write it. Yeah, that's it. So judgmental.
Okay, so I guess it just gets to the point where they're going to arrest him. They're going to arrest them both, and Billy Zane just like, nah, fuck this, and he just punches the policeman through the face.
Yep. So he punches the policeman. I don't know. I'm changing the page for that. So he punches the policeman like through the face, and this is the first moment of like ridiculous, over the top. Gore, and I think initially, like from this moment on, we know this is not a film to A, take seriously, not that you were or weren't to start with, but this is where it looks very Evil Dead, doesn't it? Because already we've got like just ridiculous gore and bodies flinging around and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the head's stuck on his arm for ages and he can't get it off. And then he says, heads up, and throws one of those kind of punches.
There's a lot of great one-liners from the collector. It's almost like he earns more points by getting these one-liners in.
Yeah. Well, so he gets kicked outside. Well, he's getting a bit of scrap with Breaker, and he pushes the key on his face, and it like a red flare, and it hurts him. But then he kicks him outside, and then Billy Zane does this thing, and he goes, I'm tired of this hokey pokey. Like,
he's like angry, isn't he? Yeah. So he kind of like, he's angry at everyone who's there, I guess.
But he starts like making fun of like country singers or something. I don't know, it's really weird.
I feel like he ad-libbed that. I feel like he did it, and then he went, we'll keep that in. Billy Zane have his moment.
He loses this sort of southern lawman stick.
Yeah.
And then becomes
a bit
90s
Jim Carrey.
No, I mean like, after, from that point on, he turns. Yeah, it'd be Jim Carrey, I suppose.
Yeah.
But he
over the top.
I think it's constantly the commercial. Like it's constantly like selling you something. Yeah. I don't know. So I don't know what happens, mate. I mean, what have we got? So, oh yeah. So he like cuts his hand.
Yeah.
And he shoots some green.
Yeah. So he cuts his hand, and he's got like sort of a luminous green.
Yeah.
Weird blood, monster energy blood.
Yeah.
And he's just like slapping it around everywhere.
Yeah.
And instantly, Breaker seems a bit concerned by that. He's a bit like, ooh. "Oh, what are you doing with your blood there, man?"
Yeah.
And yeah, so basically loads of demonic creatures come out from the ground.
To me they look like little crypt keepers but with green eyes.
Yeah, so they got bright green eyes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess that's like an iconic, because I haven't really seen anything
ghoul things.
Because if they didn't have those bright green eyes, they just look like, you know, any old ghouls. When they got these bright green eyes, they look quite, you know,
the birthing unique. Scene was kind of cool as well. Like they were just practical effects. They were like little fetus things at first, and then they sort of fleshed out a little bit. I don't know, they look good.
Yeah, I thought they looked good. They looked pretty creepy, and they sort of, everyone sort of comes back into the house where Breaker has got the artifact thing, his little vase, little site,
nail varnish.
It's a little nail varnish,
yeah,
full of like this bright red liquid, glowing red liquid.
Yeah,
and he kind of uses it to sort of mark the door, and
like it creates a bit.
Yeah. And it creates a
force field.
Basically a force field. That's the creates a force field. Obviously it's like a religious thing to ward off these demons, and they can't cross it. They can't get past it. So he starts using it on various different doors and windows to try and stop. And then and pretty much straight off it becomes like a siege. The demons trying to get in. All of these this ragtag group of characters trying to
all the windows at first, and there's the back door and the front door, and they just keep popping this force field juice down.
Yeah.
And then, so for a little while, the demons can't get in, but Billy Zane can possess people.
Yeah.
Where he can kind of mutate their bodies. It's really weird. By just like, he talks to them and appeals to their human nature or something.
He goes, "Bloody hell, you're lovely, you are." And he goes, "I'm possessed."
So the first person is the Cordelia, the prostitute, and she gets slapped around by Roach.
Yep.
And then so she looks, she's like looking for love anywhere, and then she sees Billy Zane, like, he's like wiping a tear from her eye, like from outside the window.
Yeah, it's quite that wild. Was pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, that was good.
And then, so Wally, the guy who's about to go postal,
Andre the Regular.
Andre the Regular is going to have some sex time with her.
Is he?
Yeah. He thinks he's the luckiest day of his life.
Yeah.
But then when people get possessed, it's really mutated. Like the flesh.
It's like, a bit like the thing, kind of, I guess, like, isn't it?
There's a neck stretch or something.
There's like a neck stretch open. The mouth becomes like this weird sort of mandible thing. Like Predator crossed with something. Yeah, it's pretty good. Like for practical effects, it looks juicy.
And their eyes moving around inside the...
Yeah, and they look like the people they're supposed to be. Because, you know, I mean, you get this loads in films, especially from this era, probably from the like 70s through to the late 80s, when like people get possessed or turn into vampires or become something else, they kind of stop looking like the person they were supposed to. And I mean, I guess that's kind of the thing, because there's something quite terrifying about that. But the fact that these people still look like those people, but, you know, just messed up.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And I quite like that.
Considering, they get in there and go, "A little scrap."
So they have a little scrap, and she kills Wally, didn't she? And then she, who is it? She
like shoves a finger into his eyes, and then she rips Thingy's arm off.
Oh yeah, yeah. And she rips Irene's arm off. Comes off pretty easily.
Yeah.
Comes. I mean, it is like snapping.
Wanted to come off that. Did.
It wanted to come off that arm. That arm was going, "Go on then, if you're gonna rip me off, go on here." Yeah. So that arm comes off pretty. I mean, that's pretty brutal, because I think not long after the arm comes off, people are kind of just dabbing it with a cloth or something. Never mind. No, see, I couldn't have done that if we weren't
next to each other. I like it.
I would have done it through I just touched the screen.
So, around after they've fended off that, Breaker says the juice is the blood of Christ.
Obviously.
Or it was. And it was also, but he got it from, there's like guardians or something, and every time they die, mm-hmm. they put their blood into it and they pass it on to the next.
Is this when we see a little flashback to the Jesuses?
Yeah, there's a bit of that, and there's a bit of World War One as well. I think he spaces out.
Yeah. Because we're supposed to make, yeah, that this has been passed down through you know, various different people to try and protect other people from loads of the old daemons.
Yeah. So, and then Billy Zane's trying to get a few ways. Roach is like, I'm going to get the key. I'm going to give it to him. He's going to betray everyone. And then someone, they lose the cat. So they go into the basement and they find out there's some mines.
Right. Yeah. Mines underneath the, is it a church?
It was a church, yeah.
Was it? So it's like a church hotel with mines underneath it.
Anything that serves the story. Bill Sadler, Breaker Man, is like, I don't think so. But everyone else is like, yeah, we think so, actually.
Mm.
So we're going to do it. But it was a bad idea. The mines are full of demons.
Mines are full of bloody demons, obviously, aren't they? Yeah.
That bit I found really scary as a kid. But, I mean, now it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's just not scary at all, is it?
I don't know. Like,
is it? I don't know.
It's not scary as such, because we're grizzled older men now, Luke. But there is something kind of creepy about it. I think it's the green eyes for me.
Yeah. In the dark, you see, like, loads of green eyes. So you don't know how many there are.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. What happens?
I think we find out a bit more about the key. So it's like God created light, which scattered demons and the keys across the universe. And that artifact is the last key needed to reclaim the power. And there's a bit as well where, like, somebody's like holding it up to Jesus on the cross and it's like dripping down into it.
Yeah.
And a demon like tries to
touch it or something.
Yeah. But another thing, when demons get shot, so obviously Breaker's got a gun and he's shooting a lot of them in the head. So when they get shot, like, this green sort of lightning sort of comes out of their eyes and sends them flying back. It's almost like they've got this power in them.
Yeah,
and you could do anything to just, you could just cut them open a little bit and it just come flying out. It's like really inconvenient, if anything, if you nick yourself, ow, lightning coming out. And yeah, that's pretty intense. It's pretty unique, I guess.
Yeah. And if it hurts people as well, like if the lightning sort of shoots into you.
Yeah.
I don't think it kills you. It's not that powerful, but it seems to hurt him.
Yeah, seems to just stings.
So, Billy Zane's still working his magic. I can't remember who he tries to persuade Geraldine at one point. Like saying, I can give you all anything you want.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit. I can't remember when that is. I think that's a little bit late. I think before that, Roach manages to, like, to get the key out of Breaker's satchel. So, like, the nail varnish thing, sorry. And then, not long after, Irene and Bob discover that Wally, aka.
Yeah.
Andre the Regular,
yeah,
was going to attack a post office with a trunk full of weapons. He had like loads of stuff, and they kind of go off. He didn't have any bullets, but he's got this like,
grenade necklace. And then
a grenade necklace, a necklace made out of grenades. She puts that around her neck, and she's got one arm. She's like, "Well, I'm going to go down fighting."
Okay, so here's what happens: Roach has stolen the key. He says to Billy Zane, "I'll give you the key as long as you let me." Go.
Yep.
And he says, like, the world's going to end anyway. I've got bigger shit. I've got piles, he says, or something like that.
Did he say that?
So I've got hemorrhoids.
Oh.
So he's like, I've got bigger problems.
If I was Billy Zane, I'd be like, why is that relevant? I'd be like, you got what? Jesus Christ.
And my nipples are smoking
still. My nipples are still smoking, all right? Got any car battery? You got a car battery on you? Not interested.
So he says, thanks, Roach. Cheers, mate. But then he instantly betrays Roach. And the demons eat him.
Yeah, so I mean, you kind of think. I mean, it's obvious what's going to happen, you know. Kind of bad guy makes a deal with the main bad guy to.
He had no leverage.
He had no leverage at all. Have this thing which is in my hand here, which you could easily take and let me go. And obviously, Billy Zane says one more thing, Roach. I lied.
And
they all kind of like jump on him. That's pretty cool. Yeah, and then not long after that is when Irene and Bob.
This death was unearned. It,
yeah. Like, unearned and unnecessary.
Why? Yeah, why?
How many are you going to kill?
Yeah. Why? I mean, so everyone goes into the attic room. And there's a little kid now as well. They found him in the mine.
So there's a kid from earlier. So I think we didn't mention at the start, Breaker tries to break into a car. Little kid sees him. What?
That's the name.
Breaker tries to break into a car. I mean, what would you expect without that name?
Yeah.
Kid sees him, grasses him up.
Yeah.
And Roach is his dad, right?
Is he really?
I don't know.
That kind of makes sense. So. He looks a little bit like
him. Yeah, they both got the same hair. Both got smoking nipples. So this is where Irene and Bob, the policeman, kind of like pretty much give up, right? They're like fighting some demons.
Can't they just so they go into the attic room? Can't they just go up? Like, why do they feel like they have to?
So basically, they kill themselves. They use the grenades to just explode themselves, taking a load of demons with them. But really, how many demons do they take with them? Four.
Yeah,
it seems pointless.
Yeah.
But do you remember what Irene says before the grenades go off?
I don't know. Some sort of
thing. Supper time. But I'm like, but they're not going to get to eat you because you just exploded. Yeah. It's just one of those one-liners, isn't it?
Yeah. At some point, Uncle Willy becomes a deadite. Because that's what they are, really, aren't they?
Like, they are pretty much deadites. Because they still look like the person they're supposed to look like, but
and
creepy.
Their faces go back to like not like the human form.
When they're trying to manipulate someone else,
oh, why would you kill your dear old Uncle Willy? I do quite like the way Billy Zane convinced he like lures him in. He's like, he's like, it's a bit like The Shining, I guess. Because he's an alcoholic, he lures him into this site.
Loads of boobs again.
Loads of boobs.
Yeah.
Loads of, and he's got all his drinks and his cigars, and he's giving to him. And there's a kind of a creepy bit where Billy Zane, he's like got the cigar sticking out of his mouth, and like the glasses. And once he knows he's got him, once he knows Dick Miller, he's just going to keep him drinking. Like, he just takes he just spits the thing out. His face turns.
Yeah.
Instantly, he gets that evil sort of glint.
Evil bastard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Dick Miller becomes a deadite.
Evil Uncle Willy, yeah.
I can't remember. I think they get his head off.
Yeah, his head gets chopped off. I think
some antlers or something. I think they stick the little kid sticks his eyes on the antlers, whilst the
evil dead, right.
Whilst the headless body is attacking, Breaker.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm getting confused about now is the amount of characters. There are a lot of characters, a lot going on, and when the boy gets possessed as well, right?
Yeah,
is that around about this time?
So what happens is Geraldine gets they try to possess Geraldine. This seems a little bit out of place because I don't know why Geraldine's in a different room. Why is she suddenly? Yeah. But there's a good bit. I mean, Billy Zane is like dancing with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is pretty cool. I like this.
And there's like a canvas sheet of her face as if she was a pop star.
Yeah.
And then there's like blood. It's like.
Yeah.
Soaking through the sheet. And as it pulls away, we see Bill Sadler's body kind
getting ripped apart.
I think that bit stuck with me as a kid.
It's like up on the wall as well, isn't it?
It's a weird perspective as well. And all the demons are like threading like his guts out of him and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty gruesome.
So, but then Geraldine, I think, is too strong mentally to become a deadite.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really tell you what's going on there.
Yeah, because not long after that, so Breaker gets like mortally wounded by the kid, right?
Yeah, he's reading a comic book. He's reading an EC Comics, Tales of the Crypt.
This is pretty cool, actually. This is pretty cool. So what's happening, while he's reading the comic, and he starts turning into the deadite and fighting Geraldine and Breaker, the comic book is like, the pages are turning. And we kind of see what's happening in the comic book. That's pretty cool. That could have been really cheesy, but I kind of liked it.
I think it suits the tone of the film.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, Danny does kill Breaker.
Mm.
And then when Breaker's dying, he passes over the...
That begins to be. So the demon kid's face is messed up.
Yeah, that's like...
And his tongue.
Yeah.
So he rips a hole in his like chest or something, and then he sticks his tongue into the wound.
Yeah.
And he's like licking his heart or something.
Oh, a lovely tasty heart.
Tongue in his aorta.
Yeah,
whatever
he's going giving for, it a good, who knows? Good hard tonguing. so he basically initiates Geraldine as the guardian of the key, guardian of Nelvarnish.
Yeah.
And that somehow deactivates like all the blood seals like in the house.
Oh, yeah, because it's made of his blood, isn't it? I think he dies.
Just as I die, all the blood seals are deactivated.
So then Geraldine is now the one who's starting to believe.
Yeah, she's the one.
She's the one. And then she gets Billy Zane beats her up.
Yeah, they have a sort of final battle thing, don't they? There's some good shots here where he's like still dancing her at this point?
Puts her into like a shower curtain and puts her in the she's covered herself in Bill Sanders' blood.
Blood, yep.
I thought that blood wasn't working no more. But...
No, I don't think it works. I think, didn't he look?
That does make it. I don't know, actually.
Yeah, but it gets to a point where she spits blood in his face from the key.
Yeah.
And
it melts.
And it melts his face. And he turns into like his true form, like the
Oh, like demon, a winged demon thing. Yeah,
massive
yeah.
winged demon, but we don't get to much, see much of it because then it explodes.
Yeah. Does the hotel? I feel like it's kind of film where the hotel wouldn't like blow up at the end. Yeah, it does. And then I'm like, how did she survive then?
Yeah,
she was in it. Oh, yeah, she was in the acid.
It does properly explode. She's fine. She's covered in the blood. It protected her.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Okay. Well, it is a nice little ending bit. She gets on the bus and she's using that blood willy nilly, really.
She's using that blood to make a little thing on the bus. I just think, don't do that unless you know you're definitely in immediate danger.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it does turn out she was, but.
Yeah,
if you're just using it everywhere you went, what'd you do? Public toilet, use it.
Yeah. Well, for that, depends if, so, if you sit down.
You'd be so paranoid all the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. There's no lock on that toilet.
Yeah, it must be quite nice going somewhere and be able to just keep all the demons out there.
The bus pulls up at the stop, and there's a guy who's obviously a demon who can't get on the bus, and he says, I'll get the next one.
Yeah.
I feel like that guy must be something as well from I feel like that must be like an Easter egg.
Well, he's kind of dressed the same as the collector, almost. Yeah. Sort of hat, briefcase, long coat.
That's the uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that when you sign up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the whole thing at the end, but what's his name? The Crypt Keeper. They're screening this film.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, I did get final cut. Yeah. Michael Jackson. Yeah. It's like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, that's how the film ends. So, I've got some trivia.
Very nice. My favourite part.
Number one.
I haven't got the answers here, but
no looking. Number one. Which Hollywood starlet was supposed to play the role of Jerry Lean before Jada Pinkett Smith took the role? Was it A, Cameron Diaz, B, Halle Berry, C, Bella Harry?
That's difficult because I was going to say Cameron Diaz was she like kind of a, but she had her big break in 1995 with The Mask, didn't she? I think that was 1995. So let's say Halle Berry, because in terms of someone, you know, who looks similar to Jada Pinkett Smith, that makes sense.
Or did I put Jada Pinkett Smith, Halle Berry, because I knew you'd make that connection.
Well, there, I've gone for it now, so.
Okay. Well, you were incorrect. It was Cameron Diaz.
Oh, Jesus.
It just says she was supposed to play the role, and then the director, Ernest Dickerson, said, I want Halle Berry.
Oh, you wanted Halle Berry?
No.
Oh, you wanted Jada Pinkett Smith. Yeah. Okay.
Bella Harry, yeah.
Poor Halle Berry's getting roped into this, left, right and centre. She didn't even want to get involved.
Number two.
Yeah.
What everyday household item was used to make the green glowing slime?
Everyday household item?
Yeah.
Green glowing slime. Was it like... I want to say bleach, but then they kept using that in people's... eyes. Is it green and glowing?
Huh? What?
Is it green and glowing, the stuff?
The
household item.
I've done you a disservice.
Is it just something completely not green and glowing? It's just like I don't know.
Well, okay. Well, the answer is the green slime is taken from standard everyday household glow sticks.
What? That's what household item. I'm thinking cleaning products. So I'm like, well, excuse me, you're going to the shop, grab some toilet paper, grab some Mr. Sheen, and get me some household glow sticks. What's that for? Just having a rave in the kitchen?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Just people just
you have done me a disservice.
I didn't think that would throw you off as much as that.
Yeah, throw me off. Okay.
What was it that got all up in the rafters of the set, causing audio issues galore? Was it A, fanboys? B,
yeah.
B, actors.
Yeah.
Or C, birds.
Birds. Imagine actors up there. Get down, do some work. They're up in the rafters. It'll be birds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's birds, number four, okay. What comic line is Tales from the Crypt adapted from?
Comic line?
Comic company, I guess. Like Marvel, DC.
Is it Dark Horse? No, that's too... It's too late in the day. Is it one of Marvel and DC? Is that what you said?
No, it's not.
Oh. Dark Horse, then. I don't know if that's in my head.
So it's EC Comics.
EC?
Yeah.
What's that?
So EC Comics is I mean, Google it.
DC. Google it. I mean, you're not a very good trivia master.
Well, I don't know the answer to what you just said. So bloody Google it, you lazy bastard. You
reverse the trivia. So EC Comics did all the horror comics like this. Creepshow is based on
Comics. What kind of years are we talking about? In the 80s?
I think they were like 70s, 80s.
70s, 80s, yeah. Okay. I don't know what that much about.
Tell us, you know that comic that he's reading? That's a pretty standard looking EC Comics thing, yeah.
Was it EC Comics? They just went DC Comics, EC Comics.
When I first heard about EC Comics, a few interviews, I always thought they were saying DC Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just couldn't say it properly.
Yeah. Okay, number 5. How many Tales of the Crypt movies were there?
2.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
He's confident. There was 1995's Demon Knight, 1996's Bordello of Blood, and 2002's The Ritual. But The Ritual was not produced as a Tales of the Crypt film, but is considered an unofficial entry in the Tales series.
We don't deal in unofficial entries.
You could say we were both right.
You're right as well. Oh, they're both. You're not taking part in the trivia.
We were both right.
You're the trivia master.
Well done. You got all of them right.
Good. I'm glad.
We need to do the rating thing. I think you're going to go pretty low.
I'm not going to go
incorrectly. My head.
I enjoyed it. As I said, it's very Evil Dead. It's very From Dusk Till Dawn. It's got a load of crazy characters in it. It's entertaining, that's for sure. I mean, I watched it with a couple of friends, so it's a good film to watch, laugh at, and enjoy. It's definitely the kind of film that would have freaked me out when I was younger. So it's probably a film I would have held in higher regard if I'd seen it when younger, and then probably going back to it, I probably would have appreciated it more. Because this was the first time I saw it, probably not as much.
I like how you're already sort of thinking in my what you think my rating's going to be. You're already qualifying it. If I'd seen it as a
kid. If I'd seen it as a kid, I would give it an A+, like Luke Condor was about to.
But I'm a normal person.
I'm a normal person who didn't think Cat People was the greatest film of the 20th century.
Let's qualify what you think my rating's going to be.
But I think I'd go for, because it's entertaining, I'd go for a C+.
I think that's a bit late. I put here. I mean, it's not going to change your life.
No.
But it's
my life is pretty much the same.
It's fun. It's very, very watchable.
Yeah.
It's gory. Billy Zane being the right character. It's got Thingy getting his nipples smoked.
Yeah.
It's got everything you want.
And his Sandman nipples smoked.
Yeah.
Turned into glass.
Yeah. So I was gonna go with B, but I was gonna say B-. I mean, that's
okay.
I think it's a B-.
That's only one step above me, right?
Yeah, and you're still too low. I think C+ is too low. When I think about C+ films, this is better than them.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think maybe, again...
I mean, the Panther Noise, it's very 90s. When people say 90s is a bad horror movie decade,
yeah,
this is up there as one of the better.
Yeah. I mean, for me, C+ is watchable and I liked it.
Okay.
B starts... veering into the, I really liked it. Is this film's fucking amazing.
Shit hot.
I'm probably not all-time favorite.
Life changes.
Yeah. So I'm probably a bit inconsistent with my ratings, but I kind of always think with this sort of range, I'll go for a C+.
Yeah.
To me, C+ is still good. I start to go, it's a bit shit when it's about C-.
Yeah.
C is bang in the middle for me. So I've even got more than that.
I think you should be more than that. But it is your rating, so
yeah, it's my rating, all right? I know you're just going to change it. He's going to edit over it in the podcast where he just goes, so Ben, what's your A+? And just me going, A+.
A+. You can put the same thing over and over again.
A+. Okay. There we go.
That's the end of this episode. That's the end of our live.
Yeah.
It's not live. In person.
Live and in person in the same room. It's a bit of a weird format.
Yeah.
It's weird to not that I can't just stare straight ahead, because obviously I guess I usually do that with the podcast. The fact that I've got kind of...
Have you been looking at the camera this whole time? I've just been looking at you.
Not the whole time. I've been looking at you sometimes as well. But that's the thing. You kind of don't know whether coming or going.
Yeah. I think it's... When I think of YouTube shows and stuff, they normally look at the camera, so maybe I should have looked at the camera more.
Well, we'll just go back and start again. We'll record as soon as we finish this, we'll just go back and start again.
I'll overdub your voice. You overdub my eyes.
Yeah. I'll just put a little screenshot of your face over the top, smiling the whole time. Enjoy it.
So, thanks for listening. Become a patron over patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to the Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. If you enjoyed the show, go and join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/HorrorHangoutBoardOfAdvisors. That's a mouthful. So just go to Facebook and search for Horror Hangout. Give us a rating and review in iTunes. Remember to subscribe. Tell your friends. Go buy a t-shirt at HawkandCleaver.com.
Just do it all, mate. Just do it all in one go.
Just tick them off like it's a to-do list.
Yeah.
One by one.
Okay. That'd be faster, isn't it? I can't go faster than that.
Okay, thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right old dude.
Thanks very much. Thanks for coming to my humble abode and joining me in a wonderful live podcast. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's good, man.
I'm just going to touch you on my
phone. Thank you.
I don't know when I'm going to be able to do it again.
All right. Cheers, then. Bye.
Goodbye.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.